Two trips to Las Vegas, a Thanksgiving night matchup, and Stitty's got a brand new home. We're breaking down all of the Patriots' 2022 schedule information, along with the trade of Jarrett Stidham to the Raiders. I'm Mike DeBate. Joining me is the green wisdom and counsel of Thomas Murphy. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful, and thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots your daily home for news, notes, and analysis infused with the occasional opinion on your six-time Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Remember, Locked On Patriots free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Please make Locked On Patriots your first listen each and every day. I'm Mike DeBate. I cover your New England Patriots for Patriots Country of Sports Illustrated. I'm also your host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, and joining me today on schedule recap weekend edition is the only man that can provide the green wisdom and counsel that we need, the true evaluation that we need on the Patriots schedule, my good friend, the Count of Murphy Fisto himself, my benefactor in this business, the legendary Thomas Murphy is back. Murph, thank you so much for joining me today. I apologize. Thank you for joining me today, Don Murph.
Oh, man, my pleasure. My pleasure. Bookended. Start the week and finish the week.
Gotta love it. And there's
we're sorry, better. Folks.
Oh, please do not apologize. Everybody in the Locked On universe loves their Murph, mostly me. And I'm definitely happy to be sharing the microphone with you on a day that I think a lot of Patriots fans low key love, but low key dread. And that is schedule reveal day. Of course, it is not today that the schedule was revealed, folks. That was revealed on Thursday evening. And Murph, we're going to talk a lot about the Patriots schedule and the strength of schedule and things that will actually happen for this team this year, whether or not this is a playoff caliber team with the schedule they've been giving. Intriguing matchups, all of that. But first, Thursday did not only bring us the schedule, it also brought us a trade that I think a lot of us have been anticipating for quite some time. And that is the shipping of Jarrett Stidham off to the Las Vegas Raiders, a pair of late-round draft picks included in the mix. And Stidham now finds himself joining Josh McDaniels and the Raiders in Las Vegas, presumably to back up Derek Carr. Murph, Stidham went from being a potential backup to Tom Brady and a lot of people talking about him in a method that gave some optimism. He was hyped up pretty much really from the day he was drafted. I remember being in the room when he was brought aboard and Tom Brady was still very much a New England Patriot. And I know he gained an awful lot of support throughout the media for the way that he handled himself early on. A lot of people were trying to, paint him as the second, option now behind Brady and eventually his heir apparent. It didn't quite happen that way. Brady went off to Tampa Bay. Obviously, the Patriots brought in Cam Newton. Cam was the starter for 2020, and then, of course, the keys to the kingdom given to Mac Jones last year. Right. Once they drafted Bailey Zappe, you pretty much knew that Stidham's days in a Patriots uniform were numbered. Your thoughts on the Stidham trade, first of all, your thoughts on the return. Did the Patriots do the best they could? And just your thoughts on Stidham in general, not only his time in New England, but how you think he's going to fare in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, the return is fine. I really have no. They weren't going to get anything for him if he went out and he signed a free agent deal after this was all over with. Miguel would know better than me on that. I could be, completely wrong, but no. The return was fine. They swapped picks and sent Stidham out, got his contract off of here. This is what the Patriots do, people. 12 times since Tom Brady was drafted, another quarterback had been drafted by the New England Patriots, 12 times. And each time at the end, when with 1 year left on their contract or a little more than that, they were traded out. And the new guy got brought in. And the new guy now is Zappe, who I think could be the Don Strock of the New England Patriots over the next 10 or 15 years.
Mm. Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways, Zappe coming in here is definitely going to be something interesting. The kid's definitely got a good arm. He put up gaudy numbers last year for Western Kentucky. Right. Very much in the mode of what Mac Jones likes to do and the type of quarterback that he is, which leads me to believe that the Patriots looked at this move, Murph, and said, you know what? This is the good opportunity for us to be able to find a like-for-like. Right. You know, Jarrett was not going to be that guy. That's not his game. No. It wasn't his game in Auburn, and it's definitely not his game here. And now going to an area where Josh McDaniels knows his capabilities, seen him in practice. He can sit behind Derek Carr, and I think that's a good opportunity for him. So,
right. He knows what Josh wants. He knows Josh's playbook. That's the bottom line of it. And he's very comparable in style to Derek Carr and what Josh is going to want to do with Derek Carr.
That's a good point.
And that's a real problem around the NFL that a lot of teams don't see that in their backup. What they do is they go out and they grab the cheap guy that, yeah, if so-and-so goes down, he can come in and keep us in a game or maybe win a couple of games for us, but they're not the same style of quarterback. And,
good point.
So this is something that works out for both. The quarterback room gets a little bit less crowded here, and a guy that just was not going to make it. He's had every opportunity. If he was going to make it, it would have been the year that Cam Newton was here, and they didn't hand him the keys to anything.
Yeah, exactly. And look, there was a time where I was climbing on the Stidham stump just like everybody else. I know people, long-term listeners of Locked On Patriots, are going to wag their finger and they're going to say, Mike, I remember when you were talking about Stidham and saying you had confidence in him. And I fully own that. I fully admit that. And I still have confidence in him as an NFL quarterback. But the minute they made the move to Mac and the minute that you knew that this was not going to be his team, especially when it came to Cam Newton getting the keys to the kingdom in 2020, you had to kind of read the handwriting on the wall and say to yourself, nah, it's just probably not going to be a fit. Mm-hmm. Jared had some back issues last year. Otherwise, I think this move could have been made last year, to be honest with you. I think the Patriots would have definitely either considered that or looked at long-term options. But Zappe is someone I know that Matt Groh has sung the praises of, and maybe he can be that backup that the Patriots have needed. And you always have Brian Hoyer as the ace in the hole waiting in the wings. And also
Brian's just the overpaid. He's the overpaid tutor, the quarterback coach.
He is the quarterback
coach. The highest paid coach in New England, not named Bill Belichick.
Absolutely. And you know what? I mean, and in the long run, he's definitely going to be someone that will help Mac Jones this year, especially having him be devoid of Josh McDaniels, Bo Hardigree, and some of the offensive coaches on that staff, even guys like Carmen Brasillo and Mick Lombardi. They work very closely with Mac. Yep. A lot of new coaches, a lot of new faces on the sideline in New England.
Who are also in Las Vegas.
Absolutely. And they're going to welcome Jarrett Stidham with open arms. And Mac is definitely going to be missing those guys. But how much is he going to be missing them? And will it have an impact on the upcoming season? Well, we now know week 15 is going to be the matchup between Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, the Patriots flying out west to take on the Raiders. Mm. But it's not the first time these two teams are going to lock horns in this 2022 calendar year. Murph and I will get into that along with all the ins and outs of the Patriots 2022 schedule when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first off, we're talking about Vegas. We're talking about maximizing your income, right, Murph? Well, the best way to do that when it comes from a sports perspective is to visit our friends at betonline.net because they are your number one source for all of your sports betting and needs information. Follow all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the NBA playoffs, the start of Major League Baseball, NHL in full swing. Check it all out at BetOnline because they are your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Locked On Patriots listeners, listen up, because in this competitive environment, could you afford to have a portion of your workforce just sitting around doing nothing? Why should your building be any different? Catalyst Power would like to lease that empty rooftop from you to build a large solar array. Generate a brand new revenue stream without lifting a finger or be responsible for the installation or upkeep of that array. You can do something great for the environment, great for your marketing, and great for your bottom line all at the same time. Catalyst Power will own, install, and operate the solar array at no cost to you. While your building won't receive the electricity generated by the array, Remember this, folks, it couldn't be generated without you. This is the simplest way to achieve an environmental, social, or governance goal, all while getting paid. Eligible rooftops in Massachusetts and Connecticut are over 50,000 square feet of usable space and are relatively new, or with a scheduled repair or replacement timeline. Earn up to $1 per square foot per year in lease payments. Go to catalystpower.com/lockedonpatriots to learn more. Patriots fans, the legendary Thomas Murphy, columnist extraordinaire at E2GSports.com, covering the Patriots and all things Boston sports, especially those pesky Boston Red Sox right now that are kind of breaking our heart a little right now, Murph, but we still have faith. It's still only May. Yes, folks,
I was told this was a safe zone, okay? I was told that it was a safe zone.
It should be, but you know what? I don't know. I think of the Sox. Something comes out of me. You know, I can't help it.
Can't help it.
Hoo-ah. But in any case, Murph, a lot of Patriots fans were saying hoo-ah last night because the 2022 schedules across the league were dropped in now what – whether you love Roger Goodell or whether you hate him, you have to be able to give him credit for making a two-plus-hour event out of this that really like multi-days. You've got corporate sponsors. You've got television deals. I mean – you know, for better or for worse, I mean, you got to tip the cap, I guess. It really is a spectacle now, the schedule release. I remember the days where it was just released in the paper the next day, and that's when you found out. But it's a lot of fun for the fans. Yeah.
tip of the hat to P.T. Barnum there.
Yeah, exactly. One every minute. But in any case, the New England Patriots finding out they're going to begin their 2022 regular season on the road. They're going to open the season on the road, and they're going to continue to be on the road for the first 2 weeks. They open September 11th at 1 o'clock against the Miami Dolphins in Miami Gardens, Florida. And then they travel to Pittsburgh, Heinz Field, to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They'll be opening their home opener against the Ravens on September 25th in week 3. Murph, from start to finish, you're hearing mixed things about the Patriots schedule. We're hearing that this is going to be a gauntlet that they can never recover from. I'll be surprised if they get 5 wins. To Patriots fans saying this looks easier than I thought. I think at least 13, 14 wins. You know how I feel. Virtue usually lies in the middle. I don't really fall into the category of either extreme right now. But there are some intriguing matchups on this schedule for the Patriots. And obviously, divisional matchups are always going to be big. You're looking forward to the opener against Miami. You want to see that new vaunted Miami speedster offense and what they're going to bring to the table. Buffalo, absolutely. Those games are circled on every Patriots fan's calendar.
Right.
The Jets are the Jets. That's, you know, always a contentious matchup. These two franchises and teams just don't like one another. And that, you know, it's very evident on the field. And, of course, non-divisional matchups as well. A lot of big, intriguing matchups. Before I get into my most intriguing matchups, I want to turn the floor over to you. I don't want to steal your thunder, Don Murph. What stood out to you about this Patriots schedule when you first saw it? Which ones are getting that green circle on Murph's calendar?
Well, right off the bat, the Miami game. I'm really intrigued to see what they're doing down there, what Mike McDaniel has in store for the Patriots. Going into Miami is always an issue with New England, especially early in the season or late in the season. It seems to level out when you get those week 9-10 matchups, but not you know, when it's right out of the gate like this, not when it's still humid as all get out down there in Miami, or it's getting that way again at the end of the season. So I'm really intrigued to see what happens there. The Pittsburgh, I'm not really in much of a worry about. Green Bay intrigues the hell out of me. After losing what they've lost on offense and bringing in the new pieces, I'm really intrigued to see what Discount Double Choke is going to be able to do there. And then there's that middle of the schedule. The Pats, the Athletic has them ranked as the 16th toughest schedule, 16th in the NFL. So, I mean, hats off to them with what they're doing. I don't put a lot of stock into strength of schedule because it goes off of what everybody did last year, not what they've done or what they've brought in things of that such. You know, there are a lot of people making hay about how Kansas City is facing, you know, six straight playoff teams to start the year. Well, oh well, you don't know what they're going to be doing this year. But right here in the middle of the schedule is where, you know, week five, week six in Cleveland, seven in Chicago, then the Jets, Indianapolis, and then the Jets again after the bye week. The Patriots are really going to have to make hay right here. These are the teams that are on the cusp of being something that they haven't been in a while. And I think the Patriots are going to have to string some wins together like they did last year. And because just the back end of this schedule is just a killer. I mean, after Minnesota, you have Buffalo, travel out to Arizona. This I like is the travel games week 14 and 15 to Arizona and Las Vegas, and see if Bill wants to just stay out there.
Yeah, actually, we're hearing reports on Friday that he's actually going to do just that, that seems to be the call in the building. So once again, Don Murph, you have prognosticated correctly. Thank you, Godfather, for your wisdom, for your counsel on that one. But no, it makes perfect sense. You're absolutely right, because, I mean, if you're going to be out in the desert anyway, you're going to be out west. It makes perfect sense to stay out there. You know, the Patriots players are definitely not going to object to that. Less, you know, wear and tear, less flying back and forth. But that will be a gauntlet for the Patriots. And then, you know, they come back home after that, and you're facing the defending AFC champions and a matchup that is definitely intriguing to me in the Cincinnati Bengals. That's going to be a real, you know, interesting matchup. Everybody's been wondering what Mac and Joe Burrow are going to look like going head on head. But I tell you, it's going to be tough for the secondary to match up with Burrow and Chase. I think that's
it. Really is
difficult. And then you got Joe Mixon running the football. That's a dangerous offense if they get going.
Right. You know, history is going to work against them. You know, the Patriots are 8-2 versus Cincinnati under Belichick. And let's just hope that they can get to 9-2. I really think, you know, not to be that guy, but I do believe Cincinnati is going to end up with a bit of a hangover from what happened last year. There were a couple of times that I felt that, you know, they weren't a complete squad. We'll see what happens. They lost a few pieces. They gained a few pieces, and they had a decent draft. But let's just see how this, you know, works out before, you know, I hate the crowning of the next great quarterback. I really do. After a season, how many times have we seen a quarterback go to a Super Bowl and then you never see him back there again?
It just happens. I mean you look at the laundry list of guys, you know, Jake DeLone comes to mind, you know.
Dan Marino went to one freaking Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. And there you go. Absolutely. I mean, there's a Hall of Fame career and, you know, generally regarded as one of the greatest at his position of all time. And no argument. Dan Marino belongs in that discussion. But it's not that easy to get to a Super Bowl, which makes what Tom Brady was able to do and just absolutely that much more remarkable.
Here's one more point that not a lot of people are talking about. The quarterback in Cleveland may be suspended when the Patriots play them week six. Okay. Nobody is talking about this. What is Cleveland going to be by week six? Or if he's suspended, he's not practicing. He's not in the facility. Yeah. Okay. So let's pump the brakes a little bit on everything that's going on there in Cleveland, because we might not see Mr. Watson. If we do, it might be with just a week underneath his belt with a brand new team. We're not talking about Tom Brady showing up in Cleveland after a four-game suspension and just lighting up the world.
Absolutely. It is. It's something that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. You're hearing very little of that. You're seeing very little written on that. Once again, Don Murph, this is the wisdom and counsel that we love having every time you join us here on the microphone. Before we move on to looking forward into what this schedule cumulatively may mean for the Patriots, I didn't get that out very well, folks. I apologize. obviously, everyone is talking about week 15. I mentioned it earlier. Right. The Nevada Desert. The Patriots and the Raiders alluded to this earlier. The Pats and the Raiders are actually going to lock horns earlier, meaning summer early. They're actually going to battle in the final preseason game 3. The date has not been confirmed for that yet. Neither has the time, but we know it will be at Allegiant Stadium. It will be out west in Vegas. Right. Patriots are going to hold joint practices. Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal reported that last night through a league source. It's since been ultimately confirmed. Yep. So it's looking like the New England Patriots are going to try to get all of that Josh McDaniels reunion hoopla out of the way. Does that diminish this matchup in any way, or do you think this is still a very intriguing matchup between two playoff teams last year?
I do. I think it's a very intriguing matchup. I really like the way that Bill and Josh have decided to not have a hatchet in the freaking, you know, conversation at all. Right. Never mind bury it anywhere. Bill was very happy for Josh. He was not upset about the rating of the staff or players or anybody else. Hey, Brandon, how you doing, Brandon? I gotta get it in. I don't think this is going to take anything away from it. The game is happening at a time where I feel both teams will be in a fight for a playoff spot. And they're going to pull out all the stops. In the end, though, I think the Patriots go out there and they win this game because I think Josh overthinks it.
It's a possibility.
Don't forget,
Josh was able to edge out Bill the last time these two teams hooked up. These two entities went at one another. Of course, Josh was the head coach of the Broncos back then. Of course, we're talking about 2009, week five of that season.
Right.
Was a victory, a 20-17 overtime victory for the Broncos over Bill. But yeah, I think there might be a tendency to overthink it a little bit. Don't forget, Bill's grown a lot since that moment, too.
Right.
So I think he's looking at this, especially this Raiders team with a lot of star power on both sides of the ball. You're talking Derek Carr. You're talking Josh Jacobs running the football. Darren Waller at tight end. Devontae Adams is a wide receiver. Brandon Bolden is your all-purpose man. You know, I had to bring it up. I had to bring it up, Murph. I know. I'm not in Murph's good graces today. I've already brought up the Red Sox. I brought up Brandon Bolden. He's really going to kill me, folks. All kidding aside. This definitely is intriguing, and I think it presents a lot of good opportunities for the Patriots to see where they are. And it's at the point in the season where they have to be playing their best football if they want to make a playoff run. I think we'll know a lot about this team by the time these two teams are ready to do battle in late December.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Murph, what can we say? I mean, the New England Patriots schedule is out, and it is definitely a gauntlet. There's no question about it. But how much of a gauntlet is it really, folks? Is this a schedule that the New England Patriots can look at and say, we're a playoff team? Well, some people may disagree. Murph and I are going to give our thoughts on that in just a moment to bring this all home today. But first, Murph, the warm weather is here in New England. There's no question about it. It looks like it's here to stay. The weather forecast looks like it's going to be in the 70s and beyond now. Summer is just around the corner. And naturally, you always want to feel better. You want to look better. Not just physically, Bud, but you also want to look better and you want to feel better when it comes to getting around. And the best way to do that is to keep your ride in tip-top shape. You can do that with our good friends over at rockauto.com. Folks, you can save time and money when using rockauto.com because, after all, my friend, why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business. They serve do-it-yourselfers, just like Murph and I, for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are relatively low, they're reliably low, and they're for every customer. You don't have to be an insider to get their deal. Everyone can take advantage of the great prices over at rockauto.com. And folks, they have everything that you could need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oil, even new upholstery and new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solutions for all your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Yeah, just got new headlights from Rock Auto.
Absolutely.
I needed one. I bought two because they were so cheap. I said, just buy two.
Absolutely, and they really are. I mean, the products and service and whatnot, I found myself in need of plugs not too long ago. I mean, you look at what you can get from, you know, these guys, and they're reliable. They're a family business. You get the thank you after the order. Really, I mean, you really felt like you've done business with a family business that you've known all along. So, folks, when we tell you, definitely check it out. Murph is a do-it-yourselfer. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. Yep. And believe me, it fits into any budget. You won't be disappointed when it comes to what they can do. And Murph, talking about disappointment.
No.
Folks, I'm only joking. It is way too early to determine the New England Patriots' fate. I always love guys that can you know, prognosticate exactly the win-loss record, the scores, the thing. That, of course, I'm taking a couple of shots of our good friend Tom Curran, who we absolutely adore. And I'm not, he knows I'm only doing it in good faith. And because we share a Providence College connection, of course, my graduation and, his son going, I can do that. But no, all kidding aside, I just think it's way too early to really make an accurate assessment as to where the Patriots are going to end up. But you know what, bud? It is a part of our business, and we have to do it. And we do it because it elicits a lot of conversation, which is what we're going to do here today. When you look at the Patriots' schedule, I'm talking just regular season now, top to bottom, all 17 games on the slate. Is this a schedule from top to bottom where you look at it and say, you know what, the Patriots can win enough games to get to the playoffs in 2022? Keep in mind their competition and keep in mind what they're up against. Is this a playoff caliber schedule for the New England Patriots right now as you see it?
I look at this schedule and I go, win, 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 win. No, it, you know, I get my little John Gruden in there, but after this, this is a schedule that they can squeak into the playoffs with. I do not believe that this team is going to be able to win the AFC East this year, but they can get into it. If they make the hay that I said at the be in the middle of this schedule, if they can come out and just go 2-2, I don't think they're going to do it. If they do what they did last year, would you start 1-4 last year? I don't think there's coming back from that this year. I really don't. But I do believe that they're going to be able to go out to in during the middle of this and make some, I'm not saying another 7-0 run, but they could put together four or five games, win a game that they're not supposed to. If they don't lose any games that I feel that they should win, you know, if they don't go out to Detroit on Thanksgiving and just ruin my pie, then yeah, I do believe that this is a playoff team and they could probably end up getting a playoff victory even on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. They have to come out and they can't put themselves in an 0-2 road hole coming home to face the Ravens for their first game. This is a team that actually fared a little better on the road last year, believe it or not, at times than they did at home. Started the year, like you said, 1-4, 2-4. I mean, this is a team that is, I don't know if they're necessarily built or the schedule is not necessarily built for them to be able to do it based on the competition that they're facing. And for all intents and purposes, you can assume Miami's going to be an improved team, at least on paper. We don't know what the new coaching staff is going to look like. I think that's a wild card. I think a lot of people are leaving that out. I'm a fan of Mike McDaniel. I think he's going to do a great job there. I think he's good. I think he does have the ability to take this team to a height. I think if they were going to jettison Brian Flores, getting a guy like Mike McDaniel was a good move for them. This is the guy that they wanted and a good guy that can come in and do his job. So I like that
Even though neither of us agree with the move, and I'd really like to see some more talk around the league right now about being offered money to throw games. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You're right.
No, I really
you're
want.
You're saying what everyone else is thinking.
We get 0.5 in air pressure, and there's $17 billion spent to find out what happens. And we have an honest to God, you know, somebody that if he told me that the sky was green and grass was blue, I would take his word for it. That's how great this man is, who came out and said that, I was offered money to throw games, and we're not hearing anything about it. No, nothing.
Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really kind of makes really you wonder does. About that. And I applaud you for saying that, because it's what everyone's thinking, but nobody is really saying.
Right.
I'm glad that you said that. It's true. And we do hold Brian in very high regard. We continue to, and we always will. But bottom line, you're also looking at now getting back to, you know, the schedule part of it. That's fine. No, but, in terms of Miami, and then, you know, of course, Buffalo is the defending, you know, division champions now for the past 2 years. And, despite of the fun that we like to poke at some of their members of their fan base, this is a team that's not going anywhere. They're going to be right in the thick of things. And the Jets have a chance to be better. As much as we cringe at saying that, they didn't have a half bad draft. We wanted to really poke holes in that, but they
had a good draft. They still don't have a quarterback. He's trash. Zach Wilson's trash. I'm gonna say it. Prove me wrong. It's trash.
Yeah.
Everything he does is the same thing. He can't throw over the middle. He's short. Okay, you're short. But no, this could come down to December. Okay. A lot of times we say that the Patriots don't really get started until Thanksgiving, that, you know, there's that second season. Bill breaks up his seasons in he quarters out his seasons the way he would a football game, you know, and it could end up with what happens after Thanksgiving could determine whether or not this Patriots team is a playoff team or not. But yeah. You told me before that you weren't going to put me on the line. My floor for the Patriots this year is 9 wins. My ceiling is 11.
Wow.
They could win 11 games.
Interesting. I'm almost right there with you. I think my cellar is 7. My ceiling is 10. Yep. In terms of what I believe that they could do. I don't think they'll do any worse than losing 7. I mean, to me, that's catastrophic. Worst case scenario. This team's got way too much talent for anything less. Right. I'd be shocked. I would be. I'd be really shocked if that was the case. But judging by what I can see from this schedule and the competition they're going to be facing, I think 10 is pretty reasonable in terms of what they might do.
And 11 is a bit of a reach. 11, yeah. And I'll agree. It's a bit of a homer take if you want to hang that on me. I'll wear it, but I do think they could end up winning 11 games. It's a long season, folks. Like I said, there are storylines that nobody is talking about. There are injuries that are going to come up and take place. There are offensive lines that need to learn each other, and so if the Patriots can come out and get out to a good start, 2-2, 3-1 would be a freaking amazing act, and that could be the 11th win on this year if they end up, you know, taking something from if they end up, you know, beating Baltimore. It could could be the 11th win in week 3.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely don't think you're crazy for saying that. I think that 11 wins is something that you're not reaching for the stars at that point. And like I said, I mean, we're pretty much in the same wheelhouse in terms of what this team can do, and who knows. That's why they play these games on the field, Murph, not on paper. Again, that's why I think sitting here on May 13th, 14th, whenever you're viewing this podcast, folks, I think that's what you're looking at. Right. I think that's what's going to end up deciding the Patriots' fate is how training camp goes, how preseason goes, and how these regular season games start stacking up. And this team has the talent to be able to string some of those together. Can they do it consistently? Well, the jury may be out on that, but we're going to continue to see what the Patriots can do.
Right.
Murph, what can I say? Always, always appreciate you stopping by for your wisdom and counsel. It sounded like you had another thought, so I don't want to step on your toes there, my friend.
No. I just wanted to apologize for saying Detroit on Thanksgiving and not Minnesota.
Oh, it's no problem. It's no problem at all. You know, by the time that we're ready to eat Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving
night, we'll get it straightened out.
Yeah, Patriots fans are probably not going to know the difference. No, I'm kidding. I shouldn't say that. No, Minnesota actually was one of my intriguing matchups that I wrote about for Sports Illustrated earlier, not just because it's a Thanksgiving night matchup, but, you know, there's a couple of receivers on this team that I really, really love watching, Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, who Evan Lazar and I still haven't gotten over that yet. We talk about that all the time. We just love Justin, and what a Patriot he would have made.
He would have made a great Patriot.
But,
he
really would have. Absolutely. Great, great stuff. Murph, before we take our leave today, I think it would be remiss if I didn't take a moment here on Locked On Patriots and joining, I know Murph joins me in my sentiments, to mention a true Patriots legend that unfortunately we lost yesterday. Gino Cappelletti, at the age of 89, passing away. Some called him Mr. Patriot, others called him the Duke, but one thing you can absolutely call him is a legend, both professionally and personally. Yep. Gino still ranks third all-time in Patriots history in scoring with 1,130 career points, 10th on the Patriots list with 292 receptions, and 12th with 4,589 receiving yards. Not just a kicker, folks, but also a great wide receiver. Wow. Following his playing career, Gino hung up the cleats, and he went into the broadcast booth where, yet again, he was a legendary broadcaster for the New England Patriots. Took his talents to the sidelines, coached special teams a little bit under Ron Erhardt, but ended up coming back to the booth and formed one of the great tandems in radio history with he and the late, great Gil Santos. I had the opportunity to meet Gino a couple of years ago during training camp, and just one of the nicest, most humble, and truly one of the most appreciative men I've ever met at being who he was.
I remember you telling me.
He was so just gracious to be in the position that he was in. And you could tell that he really enjoyed it and he appreciated every bit of it, including fans that always, always had great things to say about him. While I didn't know him nearly as well as some of my colleagues who lost a dear friend yesterday, I definitely join everyone, and I know Murph does as well, in mourning the loss of Gino Cappelletti, who is a true legend, and he will be missed in New England this season, and he will always be missed, you know, in New England. But a piece of him will always be around, and number 20 will always be in our hearts. So on behalf of Locked On Patriots, on behalf of my good friend Thomas Murphy, we offer our sincere condolences to the Cappelletti family. And rest easy, Gino. You That's will forever be remembered. And I'll always remember you in my heart because you shared the same first name as my father who passed away in 2009. So if I know my dad and there is an afterlife and it does exist, he definitely went up to Gino Cappelletti. And the first thing he said was, yeah, my son is the guy that you met a couple of years ago at training camp, and good first name. And knowing Gino, he probably would have looked back at him and said, absolutely.
You know, just one little note, folks. If Gino Cappelletti had played his career in New York or in Green Bay, he'd be in the Hall of Fame right now.
Absolutely. A deserving Patriots. Yeah, deserving Patriots.
Deserving Patriots Hall of Famer. And he would have been a national football. Yep, he should be a pro football Hall of Famer.
He should be a pro. Absolutely. Well, Murph, unfortunately ending on a sour note, but in Gino wouldn't want it any other way than the show must go on. And that's exactly what will happen here on Locked On Patriots, folks, because each and every day we'll continue to bring you the latest news, notes, and analysis from Foxborough. I thank my good friend, the legendary Thomas Murphy himself, at TMurph207 on Twitter. Catch all of the great work that he does, whether covering the Patriots, all the excellent coverage he's providing right now with the Red Sox. Folks, it's not always pretty, but Murph covers it accurately, and he covers it with a style all his own, and he's always spot on in his analysis, but he's also honest, and that's just so important when it comes to the work that we do. That's why I admire the man, and one of the reasons why you still are the only guest, past, present, and future, with his very own branded hashtag, my friend. Thank you once again for joining me today, and I can't thank you enough for always lending your wisdom and counsel and being an amazing friend.
Thank you, buddy.
Also, you're very welcome. My tip, my cap to you, my friend. And also, I can't thank each and every one of you enough, the great fans of Locked On Patriots, for not only making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage, but also your first listen every day. So continue to stay locked in to Locked On Patriots by downloading, subscribe to, and following us wherever you get your podcasts, and smash that subscribe button on YouTube. Until next time, Foxborough faithful, on behalf of Don Murph himself, the legendary Thomas Murphy, I'm Mike DeBate. Stay safe, stay well, be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.